we're going to talk about the Christocentric church. Really, there's a lot of ways to look at this. Really, the true church, in one way or another, is going to be Christocentric, because at some point, everything's going to have to go through Him. At the end of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the one that judges. He's going to be the one that sets everything in order. We all have to deal with God in the end, right? We got to come face to face with this man. And we won't be able to say, well, you know, you don't understand this and this and that. We got to deal with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. So in that sense, the church is, there's no way for it to not be Christocentric, because He's the head. He's the He runs things in the church, right? So He's overall. But I think what we're talking about mainly is, in operation on the earth, what's distinctive about a church that is headed, guided, that's led by the Lord Jesus Christ, where His headship is recognized, where His headship is acknowledged and obeyed. That's what we're really talking about. We're not talking about the reality, which is that He's always the head. He's the head of everything. He's overall, all right? He's God. He runs things. We're talking about in operation, what does it look like? What's distinctive about a church? And I think we're talking mainly about local body. We're gonna talk about local body here. Where Christ is correctly honored, where He's correctly obeyed, where He is the center. He's the focus of everything that happens. He's the intent. He's the purpose. He's the way. He's the where we're going. Okay? I think about, like, Jesus is the head. I think about, this is graphic, but I know you've all, maybe you've seen this. You've seen a chicken, literally a chicken with its head cut off. Anybody ever seen it? It's kind of gross. Blood starts going everywhere, right? But for a while, the chicken is dead. But it's moving without the head. There's activity going on, but there's not life. There are things that are happening, right? But it doesn't have a head. It's moving around. It's flapping. It's doing stuff, right? But the stuff that it's doing is not it's not under the control of the head. In a sense, I mean, when the Lord Jesus Christ was cut off from His disciples, they just tripped. They panicked. Like, what do we do? They could have remained connected to Him, but they chose to run. And they knew Him very personally. But a church, right, when a church isn't connected to its head, you might see a lot of activity, but you won't see unanimity around the Lord Jesus Christ. You might even see agreement. You might even see oneness around something. But it won't be around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it look like specifically when we have this situation where the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, where He's in charge, where everything is happening because of Him? Think of this verse. This is just by way of introduction. Think of 1 Timothy 3, 15 through 16. Where you get the mystery of godliness, writing to Timothy, Paul. But if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and the ground of the truth. Okay? So you're like, what do I do here? I'm writing so that you can know what to do. And then he says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. You get, when you're wondering, like, how should I, what is the mystery how do I live this spiritual, pious life? What do I do? You get the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get, focus on this man. Be like this man. Think on Him. You get gospel elements. Jesus Christ is the focus of everything in terms of the way that we should be conducting ourselves in the church and what we should be thinking about. Even if you think about the gifts are given to edify the body. And one way to consider the gifts is, I'm going to, by way of introducing what we're going to talk about today, is you could talk about them in terms of truth and grace. You have gifts that seem to be about the dispensation or the sharing of grace, and others that are on the sharing of truth. Okay? Evangelism, there's truth here. I know there's grace and truth and all, but you got these word-bearing sorts of gifts like teaching, apostle, prophecy, that are all about how do I share truth with somebody? And you have these other gifts that are about how do I really love on people? Like it's about giving and faith and healings. I mean, so people orientation and truth orientation, we're all talking about the same thing. But I'd like to describe this in terms of two things, really. Is really all for the rest of our time. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. We talk about what is a Christocentric church like? Grace and truth. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. Right? Full of grace. It's like, if I want to know about grace, I go to this man. I can just observe this man. If I want to know everything God has to say about truth, I can go to this man. A body was prepared for the Son. A body was prepared. Can you? This is some kind of mind-blowing Star Trek kind of thing where, I mean, I don't know. This kind of thing excites me. We're talking about this one week. The Son, He goes, I mean, He beams into a body. The Spirit, He goes into a body. This is a fascinating thing. This is like, okay, He's talking to the Father. A body, you have prepared this body. You've made a body for me. I could give you sacrifices. I could do a lot of things for you. But you want me to live this thing out. You want me to become a man. And so, okay. And He goes into a woman. He goes into a embryo? This is amazing. He goes into the womb of a woman, the creator of all things, becomes a cell. This is amazing. And then you've got grace, you've got the fullness of the Godhead in this woman now, who's in this little body that's growing in this woman. And He's called full of grace and truth. We're not talking about law, right? We're not talking about Mosaic law. We're not talking about, well, what are some regulations I could do that for the meantime, those regulations will atone me. They'll deal with my sin. God will overlook my sin. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about things that if you don't look at this man, he is the grace of God appearing. He is like, you know, the grace of God just became visible. You can see the grace of God now. For God so loved the world. He loved you. He cared about you. Then you see this man. You see this man, and this man is all about grace, and he's all about truth. He's filled it up. It's like there's no more, I don't need to look anywhere else. There's no competition for the grace of God except for Christ. There's no competition. There's no other location I find truth but in this man. And he's filled up with it. It's like he's bubbling over with grace and truth. And people come to find grace and truth with this man. People that have been like, you know what, I need some grace. Like, there's a guy. You know what? I know a guy. I know a guy, and this man is grace. He is grace. This man is truth. In a body. Truth in a body. Now, are we not the body of Christ? Are we not the body of Christ? On the earth, now that He has gone, the Holy Spirit has been sent as a comforter, but are we not the body? Aren't you the members of the body of Christ? Where do people go now to get grace and truth? Where do they go? There's no other place for them to go. There's no other answer. They've got to come to the body of Christ. The body of Christ. It was, grace and truth was in the body. this physical body was resurrected from the dead, and he left us, and he called, what a privilege to be called the body of the Christ. The body of the Christ. The members, we are many members of this body. Some of us are like, you see that guy in the front. Some of us are like, you know, I don't know, a new haircut, part of the body. Some of us are like a kidney. Some of us are like, you know, some of us are a knee, right? But we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and truth should be seen in the church location. We're just going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about truth shared and truth received, and then grace shared and grace received. That's all. Grace received. Truth shared. This is the church is where truth should be shared and truth should be received. And the church is where grace should be shared. And grace should be received. That's all. Okay, that's all. Let's talk about the truth being shared. The truth being shared. Acts 20:20. Paul's dealing with the Ephesian elders. He's leaving. This is famous final words. By the way, we were just talking about David. I love David's final words in 1 Kings. I just find them kind of like a little bit entertaining, how David's like, and Solomon, one more thing. Remember that dude who, remember that dude, make sure you get him. And remember that, I mean, it's like, my son, you know, like, I like that final words of David, you know, like, what, David's lived this long life, my son, listen here, come closer, Solomon, you know. I imagine that kind of conversation. But this is like final words to the Ephesian elders from, sorry for that aside, to the elders at Ephesus. One of the things he says, I have not kept back anything that was helpful. Acts 2:20, and I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Christocentric church, exhaustive truth. Don't leave anything out. Truth, nothing should be left out. We're talking about we share the whole truth. We're talking about in the Christocentric church, we don't decide what we include and what we don't. We don't even have to make that decision. It's not a decision that we need to make. Does that make sense? We don't need to think about, well, you know what? Maybe this topic, they can't handle this. What an arrogant, sometimes pastors, well, they can't handle. No, you don't need to talk. Your job is to share the truth exhaustively. To just keep sharing it until, you know what, I don't have anything else to share because I've exhausted what I know about this book, which probably won't happen, right, if you just keep studying and showing yourself approved, right? But truth, that in a Christocentric church, it should be an exhaustive, or we should share everything, even the things that are going to be offensive, right? As a matter of fact, probably especially the things that are going to be offensive, because those are the things that you don't want to do. That God wants you to, you know, so we're talking about an exhaustive declaration of the truth. We're also talking about an exclusive declaration of the truth. Exclusive. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm Paul. Could Paul talk about what it means to be a Pharisee? Yep. Is Paul pretty smart? Yeah. Paul's smart. I bet you Paul knows a lot about what local Bible teachers teach about the Torah. I bet you Paul could explain to you the positions of Gamaliel. I bet you Paul could, that's the last stuff Paul could talk to you about that has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He just says, you know what? When it comes to Christ, I'm going to be exhaustive. When it comes to this stuff, I'm going to act dumb. Like, I don't even know anything about this. You're going to ask me about this. I don't want to talk about Gamaliel. I don't want to talk about what the other guys think. I want you to be focused. Why do people use other, look, why does a church that's not Christ-oriented allow other types of false truth to come in? Why do they do it? Why do they do it? Maybe this is a judgment. I don't think this is good enough. I think this is not good enough, so I think I've got to tell you something else to convince you of something being true. If I think this is all that I need, then this is all that I need to tell you about. I don't need to tell you about what Oprah said. I don't need to tell you about what some you know, some other teacher said. I don't want to tell you about some psychologist. Well, you know, some psychologist. No, I don't need to. You know you don't need to hear about psychology. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. If you needed it, would God tell you? Does He love you? You're His body. Does He love you enough to tell you if you needed it? Do you think you have a father? Do you think you have a father who wouldn't tell you about everything you need? Or do you think you have a father who just leaves certain things out like a joke, a cruel joke, so you can stumble around this wicked world trying to figure out how to live? He's not like that. The truth of God, Jesus Christ is full, bubbling, overpowering. I mean, truth. The man's got truth. You know, like that got milk. You know, got truth? Jesus has it all. He's got all truth. So, it's a truth that is exclusive. In the church of God, we just want to talk about Him. We don't want to talk about other sorts. What does the Scripture say, by the way? What does the Scripture say? Look, Jesus appeals to what the Scripture says. You ever thought about that? Let us think in. The writer of the Scriptures, who could just tell you what he thinks, because he is the Word of God, tells you to go to the Scriptures. He's consistent with himself. He doesn't need to say things over and over again. He knows what he said in the Bible, and he takes you back to the Scriptures all the time. Non-Christocentric church, you're going to have truth counterfeits. Other sorts of things, you know, like, can I have this water, by the way? I'm like really thirsty. Other counterfeits masquerading as truth. You know, truth, you know, ever heard of a wannabe? There you go, Paul Levy, a wannabe. You want urban vernacular, really? That's not Christ. But a wannabe is like, you got somebody who's in a gang, right? And somebody else wants to be in the gang. Like, I don't know why you'd want to be in a gang. Like, I want to be in a gang. But, you know, people who want to be in a gang think, I'm going to be really tough, so I want to be in a gang. So I act like the gang guy. I hang out with the gang guy. And the gang dude says, you know, man, go over there and rob this liquor store, you know. And I do that because I want to be in the gang. I'm a wannabe. You got truth wannabes in the church. It's not truth. It just wants to present itself as truth. Tradition is not truth. Tradition, traditions. It's just not what the, you know. If you need a tradition, it's gonna be in here. I've settled this, by the way. I wasn't saved, but I went to a Catholic school at some point. And a long time ago, I settled that tradition was not truth. I don't need that. Don't need it. Worldly opinions, truth wannabe, right? Oprah, Dr. Phil. You don't need Dr. Phil. Truth wannabe. Earthly intelligence, IQ type things. You can have high IQ and have absolutely no truth. Absolutely none. Eloquence of words doesn't matter. By the way, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but what we're talking about, by the way, is we're talking about the economy of God. Like, when I say economy, I mean like, you know what economy is like? A system that ascribes value to things, right? Sometimes, you know, like, let's say that we bartered stuff. Let's say I gave something to Bruce. We're working off of an economy, like, I give you something and you give me back something. It's worth and value, right? Worth and value. The world uses money in the economy, right? The world trades money because it says it's worth something. The world trades goods. The world trades, you know, emotional acceptance is part of the economy of the economy of the world. Does this make sense when I say the economy, like, how things are calculated as having value, or what you decide to save and what you decide to give up? God's economy is nothing like the world's economy. So listen, if I lost you on the economy thing, the things the world thinks are valuable, God doesn't think is valuable. He doesn't care about those things. And the things God thinks are valuable, the world doesn't care about those things. You have a degree. That doesn't get you anything in God's economy. That doesn't get you anything in God's economy. It doesn't matter to Him. You understand? He doesn't care. Well, I just wanted to tell you after my thing that I'm M.E.D. You know what? Well, you just told a bunch of people but God doesn't care that you have a Ph.D. and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't care. Doesn't care. Doesn't matter to Him. Why do I bring this up? Because that's how truth counterfeits work. They bring in something else that's valuable to you as a human, carnally, and they try to trade you something spiritually for it. It doesn't matter to God, but you know what? I'll just introduce this to the church. You know what the devil's looking for? He's trying to find out what you'll buy. What do you really care about? And if he can switch one, if he can give you the demonic shell game and switch out truth for something else, that's what he'll do. All he has to do is find out what's valuable to you. That's all he has to find out. You understand what I'm saying? All he has to do is find out what you value. And once he knows what you value, he's going to give you that instead of truth. He's going to do the switch game on you. He's going to give you, he's going to give you, they have a really good children's ministry. Okay, children's ministry. I'm not saying anything. If the children's ministry is about grace and truth, that's pretty good. But what if it's just about taking care of, that's just not the way God operates. Right? He doesn't operate, he's going to give you, they have a lot of extracurricular activities I can get involved with. They have a church soccer team. That's not, right? He's just looking for what you value. Now you're going to spend time on this. Now you're going to make a series of decisions that are not based on Christ. Not based on Him. That's the way that He operates. He gives you a counterfeit, something that you're interested in, and then when He gives you that counterfeit, He ends up using it against you to sidetrack you. Stomach orientation. Emotional fixes. There are some churches, I love my brothers and sisters of these churches. There's some churches where the whole church is about emotional fix every Sunday. That's the whole focus. It's emotional fixed, couched in grace and truth language. Pastor really preached today. Well, what did he say? What I really mean is, the music thing started. So kind of cool. Music thing happened, or some cadence. He got into some cadence, or people were excited. Something happened emotionally that I liked to hear, and I got something out of that. And I couch it. The devil would do this. Couches it in truth language. Pastor really preached today. That's stomach. That's emotional focus. By the way, that's emotional focus. So he gives us a counterfeit economy. So what does he want? He wants us to be a church that receives truth. That openly receives it. Turn to Ephesians 4, 15. Ephesians 4, 13. We talked about this truth being exclusive. We talked about it being exhaustive. What is he trying to get done here? Ephesians 4, 13. I think of President Bush a couple of years ago had this this mandate for schools called No Child Left Behind. It's like, we're going to give every kid education so that they're all smart. The Church of Christ should be like no person left behind. Everybody grows to maturity. Everybody in the church cares about everybody else's growth and maturity. Verse 12, because he's talking about giftedness, and mainly the word or the truth-oriented gifts. For the equipping of the saints, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints of the work of ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We all end up thinking like this head, thinking like this mind. We all end up mature in such a way that, in a uniform way, like we all grow into this agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we all come to this accurate recognition of the person of Jesus. I know what he's like. I know what he thinks like. What would a totally Christ-oriented, Christ-headed, Christ-centered church look like? Imagine the power of how many people are in this room. Imagine the power if you just had 20 people that thought like Jesus Christ, did what Jesus Christ acted like, graced on people and loved them like Jesus Christ. Just had like 20 people. Who are just like, I'm all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity around this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth sharing is that we get to a place where we're all in agreement with Him. We all think like Him in a radical way. One other text I want to look at before we move on to grace. The 2 Timothy passage, 2 Timothy 4, which once again kind of talks about this issue that we have. When we have false teaching. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. He tells him in verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, that's your emotions again, that's your stomach, that's your own, what you want. They have itching ears and they will heap up for themselves teachers. That time is coming, Timothy, when what's going to happen over time is rather than just reject your teaching, they're just going to gather a bunch of other teachers. They're just going to say, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the guy on television who tells me what I want to hear, who every week talks about, you know, about me getting blessed, who every week is dealing with You know what I need, Bruce? I need to hear a word today. I need to hear a word from me. This is the itching ears. I need to hear a word from me. That's not how truth gets shared. Truth gets shared to the body of Christ. To the body, not to you individually. And you listen, and if it's the Holy Spirit, you'll learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that'll be for you. Okay? I just want to hear a word today from me. That's the itching ear mentality, okay? So we want to get away from that. Okay, does it make sense? Truth, so Christ-centered church, truth sharing, truth hearing. Let's talk about grace. Grace sharing. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more informally here in the few minutes I have left. Grace sharing. The church, Jesus Christ is the body. He's the body. We are His body. If He's full of grace and truth, people should be able to find grace in the body of Christ. This is where I should look for grace. Rhetorical question. Let me be careful how I say this. To receive grace, do I need to be honest about who I am to receive grace? In other words, do I need to be like, I need to be in a place where I can be like, I sin. I'm covetous. I lie. I'm lustful. fornicator. I'm greedy. Can I lie to myself about these things and be grace-oriented? I need to be in a place. Look, this is what I want to talk about. Look. Sinners ran to Jesus. They were like, this man is not what I thought God was like. And if God is like this, if God is like... You could go to Jesus. You could be like, I'm in sin, and you could go to this man. Do you hear what I'm saying? You could go to this man. You could go to this man. You could be a sinner. Listen, you could be a sinner and go to this man who's God. He's full of grace and full of truth. Let's look at one passage, actually. I want to look at this passage because of all the stuff in it. Let's look at John 8. We'll talk about a couple of passages, but let's look at John 8. John 8, go to John 8, 1. Go to John 8, 1. Now, this is interesting. I never saw this. John 8, 1. We'll start at verse 2. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. Stop there. All the people came to him. This is like all types of people are coming to him. This is like teachers are coming to him. Poor people are coming to him. All types. All kinds of people. All them. Who was with Jesus? All them was with Jesus. All them was with him. All kind of people came to him. And he sat down and he taught them. This is an intimate thing. This is like Jesus just goes to the temple and people just show up and they just sit there and listen to this man. This is like prostitutes. Listen, they're just together. This is like tax collectors. This is like people that have jobs. People that lead families. Kids are there. Single parents are there. All manner of people are there with him. And it says he sat, you've got right there, look, I'm telling you, you've got right there grace and truth. They see the man as gracious. They see, like, I can be with him. He's not judging me. He loves me. And he's teaching them. Okay? Now you've got the counterfeit of both of these jumps off. Now you've got scribes and Pharisees come. And they're going to challenge what you think. They're trying to challenge Jesus on grace and truth. Jesus, how are you going to deal with the law here? And Jesus, how are you going to be gracious to her? They bring a woman caught in adultery to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brought by scribes and Pharisees. You all know the story, right? You all know the story. They bring up the law. Okay, we're not talking about the law, by the way. We're talking about grace and truth, right? Law came from... This is Jesus. This is where we get grace and truth. We don't get law. We get, you know, but he's going to deal with the law here. And now you've got this ridiculous situation where these people have been coming in. They feel good with... They feel comfortable. They feel like, I can go sit with Jesus. Wow, he's God, and he will sit here and talk to me. Wow! That's not what I expected. Ironically, they're in the temple. This is amazing. They're in the temple. This is amazing. Jesus, they bring her in. They're talking smack to Jesus. Listen. They have no interest in grace or truth. They have none. But they're in the temple. They're in the temple. They're hanging around people who, you know, what does a good pastor do? Oh, he deals with scribes and Pharisees. Because scribes and Pharisees in a church, they kill grace and truth. Scribes and Pharisees in a church make it so unsafe that nobody can be who they are. Nobody can get forgiveness. Nobody can actually ask a question. Nobody can really learn. How can I really ask a question? I don't want to be seen as dumb, right? Pharisee. This is a dumb question. This is not a dumb question. This is the place of truth. This is where we learn. I need to be able to ask questions. I need to be able to not feel dumb. I need to be able to feel like I can repent. I'm not talking, look, we're not talking about sin. We all know that sin is wrong. Don't even go there. We're talking about when I do sin or even when I don't sin anymore, but everybody's looking at me like I still do. Not gracious. Jesus is the grace and truth location. A church should be like that. They sit down with this woman. Who knows what she looks like? She might be buck naked right then. Who knows what she looks like? You don't know. We caught her in adultery. They have no interest in grace or truth. A pastor of a Christ-centered church needs to look out for the scribe and the Pharisee. No, this type of scribe Pharisee. Because they don't care. They just want to see what you're going to do. You understand? They don't care about the truth. They want to see what you're going to do because they have an opinion about what they want to do because they have a different economy. They value something else. Do you hear me? They don't value grace and truth. They value something about their own stature. That's what they value. Probably value money. They sit this woman down. I'm thinking you get the same thing. I'm thinking you get grace and truth. I don't know what Jesus writes, but I bet you it's truth. It's something that's truth. And you get Jesus dealing with this woman. I'm just going to deal with you here. And love on her. Where are those guys? Where do those guys go? Where do they go? Oh, my goodness. How many are willing to stand with the woman caught in adultery? That's what you have to do. You have to stand up to the Pharisee. You have to, listen, you've got to defend her because nobody else will. If you don't, you can't let them do that to her. You've got to be grace. Do you understand? You can't allow it. They don't care about her. They don't love her. They don't love truth. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Nobody's going to give real truth if we don't give it. No one's going to give real grace. So Jesus stands. Do you see the body of Christ standing with this woman? I tell you what, you give me the body of Christ, I can deal with these cats. I don't care what they think if he's with me. I don't care what they think if he's with me. I don't care. But we're the body of... But don't forget who we are. Don't forget who we are. Because Jesus' body went back to heaven. Now we're the body here. We're the body here. We're the body here. We're the body of Christ. We have to stand with that woman. We have to care for the Syrophoenician woman. The woman who is on her knees crying over Jesus and who is cleaning Jesus' feet with her tears. Here we go again with these cats. Jesus, if you knew, they bring a truth. They bring up the same thing. If you knew she was, they bring up a truth charge. Jesus says, there's a guy who was owed money by two people. He talks about these men. One owes him, I don't know, 500 denarii, one owes him 50. Which one is going to be the most grateful. Now listen, I think about this story for a while. I understand what Jesus is saying, because what Jesus is, okay, she's been forgiven much. But let me tell you what. Let me tell you this. In addition to what Jesus said, if you don't have any money, just because you owe 50, you still can't pay it back. Do you understand what I'm saying? One owes 500, one owes 50. But if you don't have any money, it might as well be 6 billion if you don't have any money. You might think you can get... That's the problem with the Pharisee. They think, I can just raise this money up. No, you don't... Listen, Pharisee, you don't have any money. You don't have any money. Do you understand the parable? Okay, yes, she's been forgiven a lot. But there's two things happening here. There's the, she's been forgiven a lot, and therefore she's very appreciative. But there's also going on in the same story, they don't think they owe anything. Now look at that side of the story. You don't think you owe anything. And if you don't think you owe anything, you don't think you need to give somebody grace. You do. You can't, look, you don't have, look, you might, right? Am I the only one that's ever not had any money? If you don't have any money, you're going to talk about, well, it's only $20. You don't know. I don't have any money. Okay? Don't tell me it's only $20 when I ain't got no money. I still can't get in. I still need to eat. It's only $20, right? If you think you got money, then you don't think like that. You don't have any money. We don't have any money. We don't have any money. We can't pay him back. Do you hear me? We can't pay him back. Well, I only owe this money. It doesn't matter. You don't have any money. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have any righteousness that you know. You're going to do like this. Well, you know, here's what you're going to do. You know, well, what about that? No, that doesn't work. Well, what about, you know, what about, no. You're going to start pulling out stuff. Because you got the wrong economy. You can't pay God back. You need righteousness. You don't have any money. You need sinlessness. You don't have any money. So it doesn't matter how much you have. You're not going to impress him with that. Okay? We're talking about, I'm going to get ready to close now. We're talking about what you need in a Christ-oriented church. And what you need in a Christ-oriented church is you need for grace to be, you need for truth to be shared. You need for truth to be received. You need for grace to be shared and for grace to be received. So I'll just leave you with this. So that's the question. So you're at your church. You're with other believers. Can people find grace there? Can people find truth there? People feel safe enough to receive grace there. Safe enough to receive truth there. So, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is not going to appear and cover that woman caught in adultery. You need to do it. You need to do it. Christ-oriented pastors need to be the ones that share the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Christ-oriented pastors need to be the ones that say, it's okay to learn here. And it's okay to ask questions. And it's okay for everyone to grow together. We have to challenge one another. But we have to... Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And now we are His body. Okay? Amen.